The shock and fear of that resurrection morning has passed. The surprise and amazement of that upper room visit and the conversation on the road to Emmaus is behind us now. What we look at again this morning, the fourth week of Easter in our church's setting aside of story within season, is what follows proclaiming the resurrection. That is, practicing it. Practicing resurrection, living from this inexpressible mystery, this life-transforming truth, living as if it really were true. What would that look like? How would we know when we actually were practicing it? In our texts for this Sunday, they have something to say about this practice that happens, that it happens day by day, act by act. One of the easily overlooked truths of the first book that we heard from this morning comes in its title, The Acts of the Apostles. After the disciples had gathered yet again in that upper room, after the Spirit moved in and through their words, it was their acts which bore fruit. It was their daily living, what we might call their holy habits, which not only changed their lives, but the lives of those around them, often in ways that make us uncomfortable. Because when we're honest, this is one of those passages that makes a lot of people nervous. It makes many a conservative, literalist Christian elect to set aside a surface meaning if just for this passage. Because it records how the earliest Christians acted. And to many, it looks downright un-American. Our passage this morning begins with this phrase. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. What gets lost in the translation is what this devotion was oriented towards. It was indeed devoted to the apostles' teaching, that is, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus the Christ, and to the breaking of bread, the Eucharist, and the prayers. But what is also intended by the Greek word used here, proskartereo, is that the foundation of their common life was found in mutual devotion to one another. And it was because of this mutual devotion that their fellowship, or koinonia, was possible. It was because of this mutual devotion that led them not just to follow their own daily path, but also to give to each other in ways that are nearly unfathomable in our contemporary context. Fundamentally orienting oneself to the care of the other as well as oneself is a stance that is nearly unrecognizable in 21st century individualized America. When there are billboards that read, "Life is short, get a divorce." I don't make this up. Ways of being like we encounter in the Acts of the Apostles seem almost absurd. Again, let me read from the Holy Word. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. This makes the tithe look downright parsimonious. Sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Friends, this is why our brothers and sisters of the Franciscan order are so remarkable, and frankly, in our culture, are seen as strange, for this is what they do. You mean my money, my property, all that I have earned on my own is going to be given to someone who is not willing or able to create their own? How is that a pursuit of happiness? It is no secret that there are major and seemingly irreconcilable differences between the two major political parties in this country. At a time when many in our nation, and as is the case around the world, when many are struggling to get back onto their economic feet, the feelings of scarcity seem to have widened the divide between those who lead our country. A recent driving wedge on the national scene has been around what our government's responsibility might be for the common good. And one of the ideological leaders in this tug of war has been a representative from the state of Wisconsin, the House Budget Chairman, Paul Ryan. Representative Ryan has been clear and determined in his plan to dramatically reduce the role that the state should have in caring for the common wealth of all citizens. An ardent follower of Ayn Rand, Congressman Ryan has repeatedly and publicly cited her objectivism philosophy as being a guiding force in his own political life, for instance, by having all who serve on his staff read one of her novels, Atlas Shrugged. His message, apparently derived from Ayn Rand's own unwavering belief, has been focused and unambiguous, that government should have a minimal role to play in the care and support of those who by fault, chance, or disability have difficulty caring for or simply cannot care for themselves. For Ayn Rand, each person is an end in and of themselves and must follow solely their rational purpose. For her, it is immoral to place the love of another above the love of oneself. For Paul Ryan, this individual moral purpose cannot be served by a government that takes money from those who are able to create it, only to give it to those who, by their own lack of capability, are not able to survive on their own. Now, I fully realize that I am not a political scientist or an economist, and as tempting as it might be, it is not my job to play one in the pulpit. And I honestly do not know what our social safety net is going to look like in 15 or 20 years. The interplay between state and federal authorities on Medicaid is beyond me, and we are treading on thin ice if we are to approach this millennia-old text of the Acts of the Apostles with a political economic analysis. And what this text clearly points to is a kind of economy that Jesus practiced time and time again, an economy of mutuality. It was political in that it was ordered around relationship, a consistent and abiding belief that relationship with all, especially the broken and the battered, not just the wealthy and the successful, that these relationships are central to the life and the reign of God. With Jesus, it was seen in his healing of those who he had no business touching. It was seen in the breaking of bread that was shared with thousands. It was seen in a table where everyone received the same gift, prince or pauper. Knowing this, seeing this, the early Christians then ordered their common and therefore personal lives. Friends, I do not know where government should stop and faith communities or neighborhood social agencies should begin. What I do know is that the Good Shepherd is clear about what is most important in this life of his sheep. Life, and life abundant. Clear, still waters, deep green pastures, glad and generous hearts. This means that our actions, especially those that engage money and property, as both are signs of how we order our priorities, that our actions must come into line with the early practices of those Spirit-led followers of the Risen One. Day by day, in our regular interactions, when we get into line at Costco and look at the cart in front of us, we have to ask ourselves, are we practicing resurrection? Is this what the reign of God looks like? Day by day, as we grip our possessions, afraid to offer them for fear that nothing will come back in return, we have to ask ourselves, are we practicing resurrection? Is this what the reign of God looks like? Day by day, when we approach a table, whether it be for a bowl of cereal or for a feast with loved ones, we have to ask ourselves, are we practicing resurrection? Is this what the reign of God looks like? Friends, the world around us awaits our practice, act by act, and day by day.